course there's an in-between. The problem is, you're going to get shamed if you want to ask a question. You're going to get shamed if you want to go be a biblical bachelor like me. You want to go and blaze your own trail, and you want to be as close as you can, but you're not going to fall for the matrix. You're not going to fall for the garbage that you're fed every day that, oh, just forgive and forget, just move on, just do it, because it's the manly thing to do. No, the manly thing to do, in my opinion, is to... Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed. My friends, today we're going to talk about the dark sides of Christian marriage. So, there was a guy in my comment section, I believe it was earlier today, and he discussed how he was getting engaged, and he brought up the dichotomy that I've heard pretty much my entire life, which was, you either remain celibate on this side of the aisle, or on the other side you get married. And, you know, I think it's very important that we address the purpose of this show, the purpose of this message, and it's not so that we get to have a debate about ideals. No, I'm talking about how we can actually realistically live our lives here. And one of the dark sides of Christian marriage is that people are not honest, okay? Now, this isn't just Christians, this is marriage in general, okay? So this is not something that's just exclusive to people who are religious. However, it's exacerbated in the Christian world because I grew up in this world. I don't want to hear a dang thing from people who want to lie and tell me, no, the women are like that when they're Christians. Stop. Stop. Gentlemen, we need to have a frank conversation, okay? I understand that if you were born in the church, or even if you're a guy who's not super into the church, you don't go all the time, I don't care where you're at with that. What I do care about is, if there's this misnotion in society that, oh, I'm Christian dating. Oh, this is different. I'm holier. You know, we date with purpose. It's like they pretend like it's a mixture of a bunch of different things. Courtship, tradition, modern, not so modern. The whole thing is an entire disaster. And the reason why I say that there's a dark side to Christian marriage is because the women are overall, not just in the Christian subculture, but in society as a whole, women have a lot more experience both in life and sexually than most men, period. Now, let's add to the fact that a lot of women, they have a rebellious phase, usually between the ages of 16, 25, to not 30, and maybe beyond that. So let's add that to the equation as well and say that women have a lot more experience sexually, a lot more relationship experience, and a lot more, and they're good with human dynamics, and they know how to manipulate people around them, be they male or female, old, young, rich, poor, doesn't matter. And again, this isn't always insidious. A lot of this is very normal. The problem is, men don't talk about this. A lot of men want to pretend like, oh, she goes to church now, she's good. Oh, she grew up in the church, she had her little rebellious things, but now she's back. And now she's holy now. And now we can put the whole thing aside. No, you seem to be confusing forgiving with forgetting. I can forgive. God can forgive. But if I'm over here and I say, wait a minute. So you are out here doing backflips and front flips on Chad, Tyrone, Pookie, Ray Ray, Enrique, Eduardo, all these guys, right? But now me, I've been the good man. I'm not saying me personally, I'm using anecdotal and statistical evidence here. Well, you're the average guy, right? You're a good guy, you were taught to be respectful, you were taught to value women, respect women, all these things, right? And you look at the guys, whether it's in high school, middle school, college, beyond, you're like, why do all these women have the same story? They've all been traumatized, they've all been abused by or cheated on by their ex-boyfriends. Their boyfriends were no good. They're looking for a good man. They want a nice guy, but all their boyfriends are jerks. Sound familiar to anybody? Sound familiar at all? My friends, in math, there's this thing called the lowest common denominator. And in life, we have a lowest common denominator. If you are the constant variable amidst a sea of information, you have to ask the question of, wait a minute, maybe that one constant variable is the problem. Maybe your selection is the problem. Gentlemen, there's a huge difference between a woman having one bad experience with a guy and then going a totally different direction and pivoting and finding good men. Doesn't usually happen, but let's speak hypothetically and let's say that that does happen. That's different. Versus she's got 10 of those guys, 15 of those guys, 100 of those guys. And if you think the number 100 is too high, I'm sorry. You don't have any idea what's going on in these streets out here. Sugar baby culture, TikTok, Instagram, flying girls out, mahi-mahi. Y'all don't know what the hell's going on out here. If you think that a girl, it's almost impossible for a girl to have intimacy with 100 guys, you are out of your mind. You are out of your mind. I don't know what to tell you. You are naive, and that's exactly the problem. A lot of men want to assume the best. We have a natural inclination to not want to be with a woman who has a higher body count. And if anyone tries to shame you for that, that is not a problem. That is biology, my friends. And while I appreciate it when people bring up the idea of the ideology of you either got to be this or that, I don't go for that. You know why? Because no one can actually live that out. Nobody can actually do that. See, there's a difference between philosophy and actual real life. So when we talk about this idea of either moving to China and being a monk or living here and becoming a dad, corporate, beta brad kind of guy, there's no in-between. Of course there's an in-between. The problem is you're going to get shamed if you want to ask a question. You're going to get shamed if you want to go be a biblical bachelor like me. You want to go and blaze your own trail and you want to be as close as you can, but you're not going to fall for the matrix. You're not going to fall for the garbage that you're fed every day that, oh, just forgive and forget, just move on, just do it, because it's the manly thing to do. No, the manly thing to do, in my opinion, is to use your brain and actually be someone who is masculine. Masculine qualities are not just drinking beer and arm wrestling dudes or going to the gym. Going to the gym is great. Being in good shape is great, but being a guy worthy of respect is also a whole other thing entirely. The problem is, and I've talked about this before, this is nothing new. If you're just watching the show for the first time, first of all, welcome. Second, I've talked about this so many times, but marriage is not the same institution it was back in the biblical days, even 100 years ago. It's the word is the same, but the meaning, the paperwork, the playout, all of it is different. Just look at the statistics of divorce and marriage and how the divorce has gone up, marriage has gone down, but yet for some reason, you're supposed to just go for it. You do realize that back in the day, the church ran marriage. It was a religious thing. Now it is run by the state. Not the church, but the state. But yet, it's still the same thing, apparently. Feminism happened about 60 years ago. Does that not matter at all either? I guess not. I guess the idea of traditionalism isn't around anymore. You know, the whole wives submit to your husbands thing. I guess that's not there anymore because, oh, that's oppressive. Oh, that's bad. So we don't want that. But we want you men to be traditional. Don't you dare ask me to pay for dates. Don't dare have me do anything besides whatever the hell I want to do when I feel like it. Because if you don't do that, then you're a bad toxic man and I'm going to call you out. Now I'm going to embarrass you. I'm going to call you names. I'm going to ruin your reputation. Again, this is a reality that a lot of men face. If it hasn't happened to you, that is great. I'm happy for you. I really am. The problem is a lot of men have experienced this. I was in the military for a couple of years. I saw this. I saw a lot of debaucherous things. I saw some of the realities that a lot of men who grow up in the church, who spend a lot of time volunteering in the church, they won't see these things. So they won't want to accept what we're talking about right now. They won't want to accept it. In the back of their brain, they'll ask questions, but they won't actually ask hard questions because they've been taught to just accept whatever you're told. They don't think for themselves, which if you've anybody's read Napoleon Hill's book, Outwitting the devil in that book talks about how being super ideological and not thinking for yourself. And he says the church is one of the biggest helps to him, in all honesty. Not the theology always, but how they practice things, the sacraments, all these things that they do. Because a lot of times they cripple people's individual thinking, which then allows them to think for them. They outsource their thinking to the pastor, to the elders, to their parents, to their mentors, to other people who they think are smarter than them. They stop thinking for themselves, and instead they just take the okie doke. They just go with the program because they've been told it's a good thing to do, and so they believe it's a good thing to do. And that is why there's a dark side to the Christian marriage, because you're not instructed about your wife. You are not told to care about a woman's past. There's an old adage that says that women care about a man's future and men care about a woman's past. But you've been so shamed, you have not been instructed to ask those questions. And even if you have, you are shamed for asking those questions. And even if you ask those questions, you are shamed out of the Christian community if you don't want to adhere to what they say you should do. You either need to be a complete celibate monk, or you need to be a married gump, in other words. It's very hard to stay masculine in your marriage, gentlemen. Number one, because marriages didn't used to last that long, because people tended to, take a dirt nap about 40, 45, 50 tops. Now people don't really bite it till like 70, 80, 90, 100. You don't think that extra time is going to cause an extra strain on your marriage? And then you add all the changes on top of it. You add all the feminism on top of it. And how it's basically, women like to cherry pick, by the way, in case you didn't know that. They like to cherry pick between the feminism and Christianity. They want you to be a traditional Christian man, but then they want to be like a Christofemme. I call them the Christofemmes. Christian feminists. Christofemme is the idea of a woman being a feminist, but she then cloaks her feminism in this idea of virtue signaling, like, oh, I go to Bible study. Oh, I read my Bible all the time. Oh, I post this stuff on Facebook. Oh, I do this and I volunteer and I do this and I do that. Meanwhile, she's a total feminist. And you gotta exorcise the demon out of her. But that a lot of you don't realize is you take things at face value. You don't read between the lines. You're not paying attention. You're just going with the program because that's what you've been told to do. And there's no shame in it until you know the truth. And then there's shame in being, after you hear a message like this, and then you go back and you continue to take the spoon-fed stuff they feed you, that's your choice. That's a conscious choice you're making. Versus before, you didn't know. Now you do. So now you get to make a choice. Do you want to be another sacrificial lamb that's sent up to the altar? Or do you want to be somebody who thinks for themselves and decides whether they want to actually use what God gave them between their brain, between their ears, and use that? God does not tell people to turn their brains off. I don't know where this idea came from. That, oh, you're a good Christian if you just stop thinking. That's stupid. I refuse to be a part of that. I refuse. And you should too, quite frankly, but I'm not gonna tell you what you should do. This is just something to give you a little food for thought for. But there are dark sides to marriage, gentlemen. 5 years, 7 years, average marriage is 7 years for a divorce. Oh, not even a divorce. We're talking about sexless marriages, your wife leveraging sex against you for chore play, all these things. Guys, this side of the internet, I've talked about this for years. One of my favorites is Coach Greg Adams. Shout out to Coach Greg Adams. He has this thing called the marriage wheel, and it's very accurate. I've seen it happen in some of my friends. I've seen it happen with some of the people in the older generations. These are real, unfortunate things that happen in our lives. Question is, are you going to just go with the okey-doke, or are you going to think for yourself? I'll leave that decision to you. In the meantime, I encourage you to think for yourself. I encourage you to remind yourself of what you want out of this life. Because if you don't know, then you can't get mad when you don't get it. My friends, you take care of yourselves. Think for yourselves. I look forward to seeing you next time. I'm out. Peace.